You're going to find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view.
You must unlearn what you have learned.
That it is you who are mistaken about a great many things.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to SWTOR Reforged. This is episode 41. We're recording this on Monday, June 23rd, 2014. I am your humble host and
feta cheese.
I am your feta cheese, Jedi Master Feta Cheese.
A.K.A. Sith Lord. Cadis.
Do not talk about Sith Lord Cadis.
That's my successful apprentice. You hear that, Fluffy Duck? Try harder, loser.
I will strike you down, Lord Fluffy Duck. Poor guy.
Not till I tell you to.
Anyway, I'm Jedi Master of Arwen. That over there is Sith Lord Korv, the demented, the deranged, the seemingly ugly, the extremely decrepit.
The Sith Lord Master.
Sith Lord Korv. Take a bow, Korv.
I would, but my spine quit moving a millennia ago.
And the one and only Imperial agent himself, the guy who delves in deep to get the information that you need. The intelligence report master himself, Lewis, the lore master, the agent Olan.
Hello, Marwin.
Should I apologize for not relaying his message to you before we took off last week?
Meh.
I'm sorry, Lou. I didn't tell him that you said you'd be 5 more minutes taking that crap. I told him you were on board and we just left.
Oh, great. Left me hanging there. But anyway, hello, Fred. Hello, Twitch, YouTube chat. What's going on?
It is good to have you back, Agent Olan.
It's good to be back.
Yes, and apparently there was quite some shenanigans that happened last week while you were gone, so it's nice to... Which, by the way, everyone weighed in on, and we're going to get to that much later on in the show. We got a lot of tweets coming from a lot of different people who thought, basically, that Fred needs to be institutionalized.
I'm glad that you're back, Lou, because... You know, I enjoy being able to take a crap in peace and not having to do my own lore segment while I'm doing that.
We're not alone, fellas. No,
sir. It's a surprise that we're not.
No. We are joined by the one and only, the mighty, the bestial, Bonar! What's going on, buddy? Oh, bad day today, huh? Yeah. All right, well, we'll leave you alone, I guess.
Can we get rid of him and pick up Brunmark?
Well, that cheered him up. And, of course, Q2F3! And Shriek! So, we're all here, guys. We're all here. Good to be here. Let's see. Now, I know we discussed this earlier in the show, off air, as we were getting ourselves ready. Who's but I completely forgot. So who's actually going to be doing the Where to find us? Who said that?
You're not expecting me to volunteer for something, are you?
Not really, no.
Take it away, Lou.
All right, well, you can find out more about this show at our website, SchoolStoryForge.com. Or if you want, you can find us on Facebook. We're there as well. www.facebook.com/SchoolStoryForge. That's right, buddy. Send us an email. Please, we'd like to hear your thoughts, comments, complaints, anything about the show at SchoolStoryForged@gmail.com. We're also on Twitter. If Twitter is your thing, send us a tweet at SwoTorReforged. And please remember, we record this show live at 7 p.m. Eastern at Twitch, twitch.tv/QuestGamingNetwork. Wow. And if you want, we also do a lot of great other things at our network at QuestGamingNetwork.com. Yep, yep.
That's right. Yeah, usually we try to start the show at 7. Seems like the last couple of weeks we've been getting a little late there. So we apologize for that, but we'll be getting on track as quickly as possible. Sith Lord Korv, would you mind telling the good people what it is that we're going to be talking about today?
Yeah, sure. We're going to be talking about various crap, which includes our weekend game, the Los Angeles Leveler, Community Cantina Q&A, plus thumb drive images, whatever that is, and what will keep you playing SWTOR if we have time for it.
All right. And, of course, we've got Agent Olan's intelligence report. Lou is going to present the Eye of Palpatine.
Mm-hmm. Is he related to Ovaltine?
Be sure to drink your Ovaltine.
Be sure to drink your Palpatine. Now we have an M rating.
Wow. Welcome to Star Wars Monday. Star Wars Monday. That means that every Monday, I do everything that can be done regarding Star Wars, including wear a Star Wars T-shirt for this show. I drink out of my little SWTOR Reforged mug as much as I possibly can, and I annoy the hell out of my partner with ridiculous Star Wars references that he just doesn't understand. So. If you would like to take part in Star Wars Monday, all you have to do is just send me a tweet at SwotoriForge saying how you're taking part in Star Wars Monday here at Quest Gaming Network. Maybe take a picture of someone who doesn't understand why you have a lightsaber app on your phone. Stuff like that's pretty awesome.
Alternatively, if you would like Yvonne not to participate in Star Wars Monday, you could tell him that as well.
All right, guys. Enough of that garbage. So what did you guys do in game this week? Let's start with Lou.
This week it's been a pretty rough week. I was in the midst of my move to my new place, but when I did have a chance to hop on, which was Friday night, I ran into game issues. Somehow my status switched up on me. I went from being subscriber to preferred status.
Oh yeah, that was quite the hellacious bug that was out.
Yeah, and the thing is, I didn't really notice it, and you know, I was hoping maybe, you know, if I did a quick relog back into the game, it would fix it. Didn't do it. I almost went to the point of reinstalling the game, but I just did repair files, didn't change it. So, you know, I sent the email out to customer service, and I got the automated response saying they received it, they acknowledged it, and so. Waiting to hear back from them. I'm hoping they'll be able to fix it sometime this week. Hoping. Cross my fingers. Because of that, I barely touched any of my characters for fear of doing something, you know, something damning or damaging to the account. It's like, you know what? I'm going to just leave my guys alone for just a while.
Yeah. Now, I was listening to UtiniCast yesterday, their latest episode, and I think they had said that bug, which had also... randomly ungilded you and did a host of other things as well had been fixed. And Fred, I remember you had listened to their show earlier today too. What did they cite it for? It was something like really weird. I think it was tied to
it was due to in patch 2.8 they added the ability to queue up for the operations that of 16-man groups.
Yeah. Yeah, and somehow that...
they hotfixed that, like, 3 days later, so you shouldn't have that problem anymore, Lou.
Okay.
Yeah. When I went in... let's see, it was yesterday. I jumped in the game yesterday for a little bit. It was kind of sad. It was the first opportunity in the entire week that I actually had the opportunity to play the game. I had noticed that everything was all right with me. You know, I was still in grievance, etc., etc. So I don't even know if it affected me or not. I don't think if it did, it came and went. So what else, man?
Oh well, because of that, you know, I haven't touched the game since Sunday, or actually since Saturday afternoon, for fear. So I haven't done anything all today. Hopefully, after this, I'll probably log in, see if anything changes.
Yeah.
For me, but I haven't received any official notice yet from customer support either. So.
Well, let's figure this out. Why don't you log into the game and see if everything is all right, and then. You know, I think it might be nice to have on the show that, you know, you had the issue, and then you log in and out to see if everything's okay. And, you know, of course, if it persists, that's information that I think our listeners should know about. And if it doesn't persist, that's information they should know about, too. You know what I mean?
Yep. And actually, let me try that right now. Let me just...
I know you got a new rig and all that, but you're confident that you can do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't be an issue.
Yep. I'm pretty sure the treat just threw up on my shoe.
Aw, treak.
Oh,
is great. That?
No, we just cleaned the shoe. Ugh, never mind.
Well, while Lou gets to doing that, we're gonna let's see, what's this right over here?
Just gonna take Yvonne's robe here and wipe off my shoe.
Push that there, and we're gonna make the jump to light speed. There, and here we go, fellas.
No way.
Woo!
Well, it is now a good time to tell you that I uninstalled the software from my Nava computer.
Oh, great. We should jump blindly. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably should get into that escape pod, Treak.
No, we're not recording the SWTOR escape podcast. And if we were, it would be Q2 getting in there.
Aw, poor Q2.
Duh. Yeah, I still have this issue.
Really?
Yeah, still preferred status. Blows.
Ugh. Have you tried paying your subscription?
It's automatically deducted from my account.
Have you tried putting money in your account?
Oh, yeah.
Jesus, Fred.
It's all there.
All
right.
Have
you tried turning on your computer?
You know, the CD tray isn't actually a cup holder.
It's
you
not?
You should probably know it's going to take about a week and a half before they reply to you.
All right. Well, unfortunately, looks like you're still affected. You know, maybe some of our listeners are still affected, too. You know, let us know. Send us an email if you're still affected by this bug. And we'll try and see if we can reach out to the community team.
Ah, darn. And here I was going to ask Lou to do some ranked PvP with me after the show.
Damn, yeah. Oh, that was another thing, too. We're actually going to play, after the show, we were going to announce that we're going to actually play some SWTOR for a bit on the... Wow.
Don't tell people publicly that I'm going to hang out with you.
Why do I keep wanting to say...
Galactic Starfighter.
No. I wanted to say what server we're on, but I want to say Jung Ma for some reason. I don't understand why, because I know we've never been on that server. And
You were on Juyo before.
That's right. I was on Juyo.
Yeah, we were on Juyo.
I don't know where the hell you got Jung Ma from. I don't understand most of the things that come out of your mouth, Jedi.
I hear it's a pretty kicking server, though. I'll tell you that. I hear Jung Ma is where it's at.
So kicking, I've never even heard of it before.
Yeah, well. Mm.
Must be where the losers play.
I don't know if that's
from there.
I don't know if that's a good thing to say, Fred, considering the fact that, you know, from what I hear, it's a big server, and maybe many of our listeners hail from there.
I don't give a crap.
Jedi Covenant.
They listen to this podcast. They already know how I feel about them.
Jedi Covenant is, good job, Bodar. You yell at that nasty Sith Lord.
I mean, look, I'm the dumb bastard. I play on a server with Jedi in the name. Not by
Holy
choice.
Holy irony.
They segregated me here.
So, listeners, live listeners over in Twitch, if you want to come hang out with us, we're going to be on Jedi Covenant. Just send a tell to me, at Avarwyn, Evarwyn, and we'll see if we can get you in a group as well. We're going to do some Galactic Starfighter, probably around 11 o'clock Eastern time. It's in a few hours. I gotta edit this on the holo feed and get it out for you guys. So, but anyway, that's what we're going to be doing. It should be a good time. Agent O'Line, anything else to report, sir?
I mean, Preferred, wow, what a change. It only allowed me access to 6 out of the 10 characters I created on Jedi Covenant so far. Only 6, and it was global, I think. So it's across all the servers. Kind of sucks.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
It'd be 6 characters per server.
Okay. Oh, whew. Good, and I read that wrong. But, yeah, I mean, obviously the characters I touch for now, are my 55s. Obviously my Operative, my Marauder, my Sorcerer, my Sentinel, and my Vanguard, my Trooper Vanguard, in which case, you know, I realized I should just stop slacking, get my Trooper Vanguard to 50 at least, just play with her more often.
Rather than
just doing the dailies grind to gain credits so I could improve my characters. And then the other character I did initiate as well is my Consular. She's level 8, and I'm still deciding whether or not to make her a Sage or a Shadow. You know, I'm like, God, do I really go into the process of leveling as a healer again?
Why don't you just do it like you do your trivia thing, and you assign a number to each class, and then you ask Evarwyn or I to pick one?
Great. The fate of one of my characters decided by 50-50.
Oh, hey, why not? You decide other people's fate that way.
Yeah, this is true. No, I don't. You guys do, actually. So the blame goes to you guys. I'm just the instigator.
So you can blame us if we pick a class you hate.
I like where this is going. I like this. I just may do that in the end. Because once I actually hit the fleet, I'm like, all right, now I have to make the hard choice. What do I do? What do I do?
Right.
And then the last thing, you know, I haven't.
Well, what are you leaning on?
What's that?
What are you leaning towards?
You know, I really do want to play I really want to try out a Shadow.
Uh huh.
Because even on my Sith Inquisitor, you know, I went, you know, Sorcerer with the healing route. Although I was tempted to play the Assassin, but I realized, you know what? I want to play a class that's going to be useful, you know, easy to get into groups. And do, you know, group content easily. But now that I've, you know, I actually do have I actually have 2 healers on the Imperial side. And I do realize, you know, I want to play the game by just going pure, that kind of DPS route, you know, the Jedi DPS route.
Right.
You know, I mean, I've done a Sentinel. Now let me see what the Shadow can do. Because I've never played that AC class, that advanced class before in the game. And I'm curious. I really do want to try it. I think now's the time to actually go out and do it and see how it plays out.
I would suggest it, if you're willing to try it, go Shadow and try it as a tank. It's one of the best tanking classes in the game.
Yeah,
see, I've heard that for a long time. I've read about it on the forums, too, that, you know, there are Shadow tanks out there.
Yeah.
It's very fun to play as one, too. Your survivability is through the roof.
Yeah, what is it, like a like an avoidance tank type of?
Yes.
Yeah.
Your mitigation's through the roof, and all your abilities are about improving your mitigation.
Wow. Okay, I was about to say, wow.
And it's very rare that you get hit hard.
That certainly makes healers' lives a lot easier, that's for sure.
Second character I leveled up in the game was my Assassin tank. A very fun character. And, you know, you can completely avoid playing with Kemval.
I was going to say, because I really don't want
to do it.
I'm not looking forward to playing with Kaizen. I mean, I don't nothing against, but I don't want to go through that again, because I went through that with Kemval. Yeah, I went through that with my Operative with Cleo.
Yeah.
So, That's why I'm leaning towards the DPS route, because you know I don't want to heal. I just want to destroy things, just melt things.
Yeah, the tanking characters for the force users in this game are just so annoying. You know, Kaizen and Kemval is who I'm talking about. Neither one of them I've liked at all.
Well, I think that they balanced that pretty well. They put two non-basic speaking tank companions as the first companion that each of them gets.
Yeah.
But the second tank that each one of them gets is a lot more compelling. And they speak basic.
Thank God for that.
Yeah. Although I don't mind, cause, you know, it's gets you more immersed into the game, but... You know, I wouldn't mind half the time if Ken Val didn't repeat the same crap. You know, spoilers, if you haven't used Ken Val before, it's like, you know, what does he always say, Fred? Like, don't try your luck, little Sith. Or something about always...
I don't read what he says. I just hear... Little Sith.
That's all I hear, too.
I mean, but, half the time when I was leveling with my sorcerer and hearing Ken Val speak, I'm like, look, guys, did you want to just fight now? Just get it over with?
Yeah.
See why you're the servant, not the master? Come on.
Well, you know, the cool thing about Zalik is that you can literally take your old crap and just put it on him.
Yeah, it's true. And I noticed that I've been... A lot of the stuff I've been getting all my other characters, I've been hot swapping between them, like emailing them. Well, you know, it's stuff I can't use, and I'll dump here, I'll go there. Hmm. And I find it very useful. And the last thing I wanted to bring up, I haven't had a chance to do any of the nightlife stuff on Nar Shaddaa.
You're not missing anything now.
No, I've got to pee that I didn't have a chance at all. I really did want to waste money on that, kind of.
I'm actually aggravated at it right now.
What happened? How much did you lose?
You know, I have a lot of constraint, so I didn't allow myself to lose a tremendous amount. But, you know, one of the things I wanted to get into today in my week in game was this, that it seems like they patched the Nar Shaddaa event. Mm-hmm. And getting the tokens that you need in order to access the Kingpin machines, it seems like the drop rate on that has gotten a lot lower. So, you know, I obviously I've got no problem getting the smuggler's coins. And you spend 1,000 credits on the smuggler's coins, and I went in the game yesterday, and I was about to do Fred's suggestion last week, which is, you know, play a bunch of the machines at the same time. Well, they patched the game where you can't do that anymore. You got to play one slot machine, and only one. You can't play, you know, four or five at a time. So I was like, all right, well, that's kind of annoying, but whatever. I'll just, you know, I've been doing it this way, so I'll just stick to it. And then I noticed that getting back one of those smuggler's coins has been the drop rate for that's been a lot higher. But I've spent probably about 50,000 credits around there, maybe a little less. I spent 50,000 credits to get those smuggler's coins, and not a single Kingpin coin dropped for me. Now, you know that you can purchase Kingpin coins now from the droid, and they are about 50,000 credits.
Okay.
So you need those Kingpin tokens in order to access the Kingpin slot machines, which is where the golden certificates come from. I wasn't getting any of those Kingpin tokens. So I couldn't go over to the Kingpin slot machine and try my luck over there. So, you know, it was very, very annoying for me. And I spent, like, relatively close to the same amount that it would just to buy one of those Kingpin tokens outright. So it didn't work out for me, and I'm not a gambler. So at that point, I just threw my hands up at the event, and I said, you know what? The heck with this. I I got one thing last week from the event, which is one of those brand new lightsabers, and that's it. I'm happy, and that's fine. I don't normally gamble anyway, so you know, this event I'm just going to have to bow out of. It's not for me. I'm not standing in front of a slot machine when there's other things in the game I could and should be doing, and wasting my credits away for what? For nothing? I'm not spending 50,000 credits on a Kingpin token.
I will tell you this. If you're spending your own credits, you're kind of not doing it right. This is falling in conjunction with the GSF event for a reason. If you do Galactic Starfighter while you're in the casino, you'll get about 28,000 credits, which is 28 tokens you can gamble away. And by the time the next GSF event pops, you'll still be playing the tokens from the last round.
Yeah, I understand that. And I know why they increased the... they decreased the drop rate for those Kingpin slot machines. It's because, or the Kingpin tokens. That's because everyone last week basically finished the event anyway, and they're trying to increase the duration of the event. Now the fact is you know, a lot of people have been saying that the event doesn't feel like a 2 month event. It feels like a 2 week event. And I think we even said that on the show last week, and I agree with that. But to stretch the event out, to stretch the event out by lowering the hit rate for those Kingpin tokens, I thought was just the wrong way of going about doing this. Because now, for me personally, this was the wrong way of going about doing it. Because now I don't feel incentivized to go there and gamble away credits. Now I just feel like why should I waste my money? I'm not spending 50,000 credits. I don't care how I've earned it. I'm not spending 50,000 credits on a Kingpin token. I'm not going to do it. Because what am I going to do when I do that? I turn around over to the Kingpin slot machines. I put it right in there, and I have just as much of a chance to lose that 50,000 credits and not get anything, or maybe get a golden certificate. It doesn't work out for me. Why would I ever do that?
Now, did they actually say somewhere that they nerfed the rates of that? Or are you just going off of experience?
I'm just going off of experience, really. So I don't really know. All I know is that when I logged in yesterday, I downloaded a patch. And that there was stuff that had changed in the game. And last week when I played, there's been... I was getting a lot of those Kingpin tokens. I played last week for 45 minutes, and I must have earned probably about a good 20 to 30 Kingpin tokens. And I played for about 20 minutes last night, and I didn't get a single one. Okay. So,
I know when I was doing it, I went through 100,000 credits worth of tokens, so 100 tokens, and I got 3 Kingpin tokens out of it. And that was the worst I'd ever done trying to get Kingpin tokens.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's all based on chance, so it could have been you were just extremely unlucky.
You know what? It could have been, but it was just such a dramatic change that it just seemed to me that they had changed the drop rate. I'm gonna go in here, and I'm going to try and see if I can find the patch notes for this week, and... see if they had listed anything on there. Yeah, here we go. 2.8b patch notes. Nah, they didn't find anything on. They didn't list anything on here.
I mean, at this point, it would be really unfair for them to change it when everybody else has been playing it that way and getting the rewards.
Yeah.
And you know what's really sick about it is like the people that seem to have the most money in the game want it. Well before they even got to 1 million credits.
I don't know. I'm just saying that it just seems to me that the difference between the experience I had from last week to this week is so dramatically different that it felt like they had changed the drop rate. Here's patch notes for 2.8a. They said, Group Finder's operation queue has been set to 8 player. down from 16 in order to decrease server load and resolve widespread connectivity and instancing issues. And then they also say addressed a bug that caused legacy cooldown unlocks to not apply properly for certain abilities. That came out on June 13th, which was Friday. Then on June 18th, which was Wednesday, 2.8B corrected an issue that was causing the mission group finder story mode operations to not update during update after finishing a group finder operation, and then story mode operations are now properly listed as 8 player instead of 16 in the UI. So the patch that I'm talking about would have been, I must have downloaded 2.8B, and they don't list anything here with the event. So I don't know. Maybe it's in my head. Maybe I'm going crazy. But anyway, that was my experience. So,
well, a couple of things towards that. As someone in the chat room pointed out, think Slager in the chat saying, SWTOR's RNG is notoriously vicious. I mean, we've all felt its harsh sting at one point or another during our character's progression in the game. And it can be very cruel. And for something like this too, I don't think they would openly admit that they changed they would adjust the drop rates, because then they probably would maybe spark some anger over those who participated in the event from the get-go, got all the really cool stuff that they wanted, and now people who, maybe even like myself, who haven't had a chance to do it when I came out and are now getting into it.
Yeah.
And we now feel, the alleged adjustments take place. It's like, all right, so, player A, he did it from day one when it first released. He spent a million and a half credits, but he got everything he wanted. He got the mounts, he got everything. Now
right, yeah,
I'm going
yeah.
in there as player B with the, changes, and now I don't have a snowball's chance in hell of getting anything.
Fred, have you always been able to purchase those Kingpin tokens from the vendor?
Yes.
All right. So the probability of me just being crazy on this is pretty likely at this point.
Oh, don't worry, Baron. You were crazy long before this event.
Yeah. Well, look. Hey, if I'm wrong, then fine. I'm sorry, guys. Didn't mean to, be all whiny on the show for no reason.
Hey,
but
whether you're wrong or not, you're sharing your own experience with the event.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. I'll give it another go. I'll get in there at some point tonight. I'll get in there and I'll give it another go and check it out and see what happens. But I'm telling you, I wouldn't have brought this onto the show if I didn't actually feel like that had been that had been the case.
Did you actually pick up the little cutscene on the fleet before you went there?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Well, you should do that on Abby too, then, so you could get the free tokens.
Yeah, I know. Go in there with all your characters and get the free tokens, etc.
Spend all her money.
Again, I'm not a gambler. Really, at the end of the day, this event is not for me. I don't really care about it. There's some cool stuff in there. Fine. I mean, I was hoping that maybe I could get enough, get lucky enough to get one of those cool speeders that you got last week.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, congratulations on the Rancor, dude.
Thanks.
Yeah, I caught that.
Hey, and you remember when the two of us were talking on the phone over the last week, I told you the same thing. I'm not a gambler. I didn't play that event to gamble. I played that event to get a Rancor. And as soon as I got the Rancor, I was done with the event. I just walked away.
Yeah. Ooh, but you did get the other speeder, though? The 50s hot rod looking one?
I got 4 of them, Lou.
Oh, nice. That's what I'm shooting for.
I have so many of them, I don't even know who I want to give them to. Like, it's for real, because you can't give them to somebody in a robe, because then the stupid thing clips through it. Although it's pretty cool rolling around on a Jedi Sage that's riding a giant Rancor.
Well, I see in the notes here that you finally got your Sage up to 55.
Nice.
Yeah, and it's about time. That stupid event was cutting into my time for too long.
You're fine, dude. You're fine.
Like, my sage, he dinged 55 in, like, the slums of Nar Shaddaa. I believe it was a galactic starfighter mission that dinged him.
Very cool.
Yeah, funding his gambling habit. And then at the end, this is the stupid thing I did. I was spending so many tokens trying to get that dang Rancor that I got to the point where I had 100,000 credits. So I converted them all to the casino coins. Mm-hmm. So I have 100 casino coins. And then I play four of them and I win the Rancor.
Damn.
So I'm stuck with 96 coins that I can't convert back to credits. So naturally I had to stand there till all those are gone, because they will have no purpose at all once the event's over. So I played through all those. I ended up with probably 50 some golden certificates, which I converted all those into a bunch of weapons and companion customizations. I made sure I got at least one of all those. Didn't give a crap about the armor set. Thought it was ugly, so I didn't even bother with that. The blue speeder, I thought that was neat looking, so I bought it for a second, and then I immediately returned it just to get the achievement for it.
Mm-hmm. Really?
I have the black version, so I have no need for that. And it was 15 of those golden certificates. That's a bunch of weapons and companion customizations that I can hoard.
Okay.
So I got my sage to 55, so that means now we can actually do Korriban Incursion and hopefully not die.
Oh, man.
Woohoo!
Varwin will have his healer.
I've been working on I've been working on my Oricon dailies, trying to collect comms in order to get some more gear. So, last week I got that belt. And I did a round of Oricon dailies last night after I gave up on the Nar Shaddaa of Arwen fail. So, I'm looking to get my next new piece, and then hopefully we can get in there and play, and hopefully I won't be difficult to heal.
Well, I have been gearing up as well. I've been doing dailies, hoarding the money, and then once a day I buy an MK9 kit and an augmentation, and I've been gearing up one slot per day.
Now you better slow down with all that. Pretty soon we're going to have an entire raid.
And I also picked up the Mekeb and Oricon missions, but I haven't actually gone to either one of those planets yet. It's in the plans. I've been doing a bunch of GSF. My Clarion and GSF.
It's okay. I called myself
like
a federal
Gungan tonight
earlier. So, yeah, man, you've been killing it in GSF. You were telling me how you got your ship is almost completely mastered now. You're working on like the last thing, and then your KD ratio is like skyrocketed now.
It hasn't skyrocketed, but I'm finally to the point now where my kill count is higher than my death count.
Well, to me,
and it took a long time to get to that point.
When you're a guy like me who flies into asteroids, okay?
All I have left that I need to master on that ship is my secondary weapons. I'm 25,000 shipwreck away from it.
Ooh, nice.
And I've picked my next project.
Oh.
It's going to be the new Condor gunship that was added in 2.8. That is a gunship that is actually designed so you can get up in people's faces and do close quarters combat with them.
Nice.
Yeah, it seemed like an interesting concept. In my opinion, it's one of the ugliest Republic ships out there, but I think I'm going to enjoy it for its functionality. I've done like three matches with it just because I wanted to see how it was after I unlocked it. I just sank 5K fleet wreck into it, and I wanted to see how it was. And I've done three matches so far. I have 9 kills and 6 deaths. So I think I'm getting a little bit better.
I'd say so. Looks like Q2 agrees.
Yeah. And then the other thing I did, I went over to the Shadowlands finally, like I've been saying, I'm going to branch onto a second server because 22 slots is not enough for all the characters that I want to play.
Amazingly enough.
Yeah. I sat down and I did the breakdown of it.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see here. Where did I tuck that paper away? If I want to play every type of character that you can possibly play, there's 28 different types of characters you can play in SWTOR.
Okay.
And I only have 22 slots on one server, so it was bound to happen that I needed to take on a second server at some point. So I went over there and I made my Sith Juggernaut, and this time I'm going to be a tank. And it is refreshing to be on a new server and actually see all these achievements pop up again that I got a long time ago on my first Legacy.
Like, yay, you moved 5 feet. Yay, congratulations, achievement earned. You accessed your inventory.
Yay, you killed something. You know, it just gets a little bit... You miss it after you've been playing on the same character for a long time and you're not getting those achievements popping up anymore.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You take it for granted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice to see it again.
Early level is so rewarding because it takes so little experience to get, you know, something cool. And then, you know, when you get something cool in SWTOR, you know, they like visually and audibly reward you. You know, like it's always an event for you, especially like, for example, when you level up, and they make it a big thing. Everyone around you knows that it happened, and you know, every other game does that too, of course. But in SWTOR, it's I don't know. I think they make it a little bit more fanfare ish, and you miss it after a while, not getting all of that. I guess. You know, I know what you mean.
I mean, I could have taken the easy route and just transferred a character from Jedi Covenant to Shadowlands, and I would have taken my whole legacy with me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I might do that at some point, but for now, I just wanted to get back to basics and play around with a new character that had none of those perks. Although it is slightly annoying not to have access to my rocket boots or my quick travel reductions.
Oh, man. Quick travel reduction, too. Oof. I would miss that.
I think those are the two legacy things that I miss the most, and probably once I finish Droman Koss, I'm going to miss not having the GTN and mailbox and all that on my ship.
Oh, yeah. I don't even want to, like... I don't even want to imagine my ship without that stuff, to be honest. I love having it on there. I love going on my ship. My ship feels like a home. I love going on there and having that feeling, so I...
Or even being able to unlock speeder piloting at level 10, I would definitely miss that.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely won't have the credits for that, and I'm not spending my cartel coins to do that.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't either.
Yeah, I'll just hold out till like 15 or 16 or whenever it is you get it, naturally. But, I mean, that's part of the cool thing. Like, I gave the legacy over there the same legacy name that I use because... You know, at some point, it may happen that I transfer characters between the two servers and juggle things around to try to more evenly distribute them. And the first time somebody from Jedi Covenant comes over there, my legacies are going to be merged and I'll have my high-level legacy back. But for now, I'm just enjoying having the low-level legacy and just playing around with it. And it's so weird when I log onto that server just having the first page of characters and it's just one character there.
Just the one. You're like, wow, yo, these blank spaces.
Where'd they all go?
Yeah, I'm not maxed out on Jedi Covenant yet. I have some room left over there. I have 16 characters out of the 22 that I can have. But it's to the point where it's getting close enough that I don't want to run out of slots on one server. I want to start spreading my characters out a little bit now so that I don't have that problem in the future.
It's funny how you can get used to things being a certain way, and then when you don't have that stuff anymore, you know, it's a huge difference.
Oh, let me tell you the pain in the butt that I went through when I first went to this server. I had it all in my head because I was at work all day, and I'm thinking about, okay, well, tonight when I get home, I'm going to set up on Shadowlands, make my new character over there. So I get there, and I have it in my head, okay, I'm going to actually use my cartel coins, and the only thing I'm going to unlock on my legacy is I'm going to unlock the Zabrak race so that I can play as a Republic side Zabrak on the Empire side.
Okay.
Because I don't know why, I just wanted a character like that.
Yeah, I've had thoughts like that, too. You get so excited about making a certain class and a certain race in this game, and then it's like the only thing that you can see, and yeah, I get you.
Well, so I go ahead to do this, and I get on character select, and it shows the little Republic Zabrak symbol and the little button to unlock it. So I press it, and it just opens up the Star Wars website. So I'm like, all right, I just got to log into the game and buy it from the cartel market.
Mm-hmm.
So I make this agent character, and I log in on this Cathar agent. And it's just some trash character I'm planning on deleting just to get this race. So I buy the Zabrak race out of there, and much to my horror, I didn't read it real good, so I bought it, and it's in my bag, and then I mouse over it, and it says, requires level 10, requires a legacy. So, I had to play all the way through frickin' Hutta to get to level 10, just to unlock the Zabrak, so that I could immediately log off, delete this agent, and make the Zabrak that I wanted to play as in the first place.
Oh man, that's a pain.
Yeah, but how long did it take you to level 10, though? I mean, what, an hour?
Well, I cheated because I got in there, and when I read that, I spent another 90 cartel coins to buy a 3-hour XP boost on him so that I could literally run through Hutta as fast as possible. I spacebarred everything, and I didn't even bother like sending the credits and stuff that I collected over to the new guy. I just deleted that guy.
I love
when
you
immediately got like, I wasn't caring about efficiency here, Lou. Like, I dinged all the way over in Feratha's palace. I unlocked that race, and then I logged off and deleted him immediately.
I love when you spacebar through conversations, and, you know, the NPC kind of sounds like this. So, and then...
And then favorite is when it's a cutscene where like they're actually moving and you spacebar and like they're flopping on the ground and stuff because the engine can't catch up fast enough.
I bet it has to be a couple of times.
And there's a freaking red Twi'lek in this tent in Hutta named Cray.
Okay.
His name is Cray, dude.
Okay.
That Cray.
Isn't Cray Cray?
Cray Cray.
So anyway, this show is brought to you by Tweaked Audio. TweakedAudio.com for great earbuds. If you're in the market for earbuds, guys, you got to check these guys out, Tweaked Audio. They make very high-quality headphones. They're fantastic. They've got a couple of styles over there on TweakedAudio.com. I'm actually going to bring the website up so you can check them out.
Wally Zeri's going to buy me a pair.
That's right. You gotta check out the goods over here. This is tweakedaudio.com. So, starting at $19.95, you can get these, the PB green and yellow, and these sit like, you know, directly on your ear. For starting at $24.95, you can get the California blue, green, or red. Those go inside your ear. I actually use these, the Miked Classic Black, for $34.95. These are actually my favorite. And I always shout these out on the shows because, you know, they sound great. They come with the microphone. All of these actually come with a microphone as well, like the California Green. Very, very, very inexpensive. They're definitely awesome. So high quality, like I said, extremely durable. These will go the extra mile for you while you're doing a workout or while you're driving. If you're, you know, on a phone call, plug these in. And you are safe and secure while driving your car, on your phone, enjoying conversation, or maybe a podcast. You never know. Maybe you're listening to our show. That'd be good. And, of course, down here, the Eddies, which are $89.95. These fit over your ear. They're really excellent quality product here, much in the line of maybe like a Bose or...
Or something good.
Or something good, yeah, exactly.
Do you think that we could send Bruce an email and get me a test pair of Eddies?
Oh, I don't know about that. Maybe.
For free.
You never know, because...
Let's try to use the dark side and make that happen.
I don't think it works on him, Fred. Only money. He's like a Toydarian.
Only money.
My trick didn't work on me. Only money.
Anyway, we got a product code for you. 30% off comes off of your order when you use our code off the record at tweakedaudio.com. We've got a lifetime warranty. If anything goes wrong with your headphones, simply call them up. They will send you a new pair for free. And also, free worldwide shipping. They will send you these headphones for free. You don't have to pay for shipping. Free shipping. Great, great product. 30% off. Lifetime warranty. Can't go wrong over at Tweaked Audio. TweakedAudio.com.
I should send them an email and tell them that mine are lost and see if they send me a free pair. Mm.
They will.
No, I'll just say you've always cat ate them.
They've
that always
done that.
Works for you.
It does actually work for me. it was a couple of months ago. I sent a tweet. I didn't even tag them. They follow us. And I think it was Bruce. He sent a tweet back saying, I guess you could use a new pair then. I wasn't even expecting it, but my cat had chewed through my headphones again for I think it was like the second or third time that actually happened. And so I took a picture of it because, it's kind of like a running joke on all of our shows that, Brago chewed through my Tweaked Audio headphones again. And it actually, it happened again. So I thought it'd be funny to show the listeners. So I took a picture of it, tweeted it out. And I got an email from Bruce like maybe a day or so later saying, so I guess you guys need a new pair of headphones.
Well, if he's ever caught any one of the shows we do, we all know that Brago, sometimes he will make his guest appearance.
Ah, yes, he does that.
He so we're now Callie. Well, we've seen Callie, a couple times?
Yeah, she's a rare spawn. Right now she's laying over here on the starship, passed out. Hey, Callie. Not even moving.
If you're done with talking about kitty cats, I'd like to finish what I did this week.
Yeah, go right on ahead.
Well, the other thing that I did was I came up with this idea that I posted on the forums, which not a whole lot of people have supported me on, despite my abusing my Twitter to get people to.
Right.
Where I came up with this idea that I would like BioWare to add an item to the cartel market where you can buy it and use it on any green or blue piece of armor or weapon to actually be able to add and remove the armorings, mods, enhancements, hilts, barrels, and make that into a moddable piece of gear. Because there are so many green and blue items in this game that have unique art that you cannot get as an orange item. Mm. And it gets annoying getting on there and trying to beg BioWare to add something to the cartel market, and then they never do.
Yes, and I'm glad you brought this up because I know you and I spoke about it before we went live. And yeah, I would wholeheartedly support this because you're right. I mean, I still have some green and blue armor on all my characters, because I like that look that those sets or those pieces gave my characters, in the hopes that maybe one day they will allow us to turn them into orange moddable gear.
Looks like you've got a couple of supporters on this thread, too. My favorite is the first one, who says, based on the title, I first thought you wanted to unlock actual mods, which I would disagree with. Your request is to convert green and or blue armor pieces into orange gear, which I would support. Now, here's the funny thing. This guy actually went to... He read this, full well believing that he was going to disagree with you and comment on it. he clicked on this not to support you, but to troll you. And then when he found out that he actually supports this, he figured, oh, well, I'm here anyway. Go ahead.
Well, not to troll me, what he thought, I would have done the same thing, because he thought basically I was asking them to put mods in the cartel market that you could just buy outright.
Yeah.
Which I wouldn't agree with that.
Right, and I think this would be a great move for BioWare in the game because, I'm sure you and I aren't the only ones who like our older sets of gear because of what they the appearance they gave our characters. And it's still a win for BioWare because, just like you suggest, you put that token up for sale on the cartel market, I really think they would sell out quick. Oh, not sell out, but they would sell very quickly, and they would sell a lot of it.
And they would keep selling. Because exactly. There's so many green and blue items that you cannot get as an orange or a purple.
Yeah, and the cartel market still puts out some really good-looking gear, some horrible, I will admit. But they still put out some decent-looking gear, but they still give players the opportunity to take their older gear and reuse it again. And you know what? BioWare would still make a profit out of it. They would still make their money.
Yeah, I spent over 1,000 cartel credits, cartel coins, this week. Just trying to get some cool stuff out of the new pack that dropped from the Nar Shaddaa event.
I was with you when you bought that one, and I bought one too. And remember, mine was like completely worthless. I had like a belt in there.
Nothing but crap. Like I bought like three or four of these things. Nothing but crap. I'm just looking at this. I'm like, what the hell am I going to do with this?
I would have actually preferred if I would have got a regen item where I was just pulling out a shovel and scooping up treak poo. Well, I would have actually used that. Which, speaking of that, I heard on the last episode of Utinicast, Red was actually saying that somebody that went to the community cantina event said that those little regen items that you can click from your inventory, BioWare is actually going to consider putting those into your ability bar. So you won't have all the items in your inventory. You'll be able to pull them out as an ability.
Yeah, I heard that, and I got really excited about that.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. There was one thing that came out of one of those cartel packs for me, and this is the freaking balloon that follows me around. So I got a pet out of it, but it's... Nah, it's a,
I don't know. This is like that time that you worked at Blockbuster all over again. Why do bad things continuously happen to you?
With the Gungan lollipop?
It has a tickling feature.
Oh, tickler.
Oh, boy.
Bleep tickling.
Yeah, I'm not complaining about the game, guys. I'm just simply saying that my experience this past week, really yesterday, in the game was less than desirable. That's all I'm really saying.
But I will say this, guys, like... If you're willing to help me out with this little crusade that I've started here to get this item added to the cartel marketplace, go to the official SWTOR forums, which you go to SWTOR.com, click on community, click on forums, and they really hid this away. You got to click on general for the forum category, and then at the top there is a category for cartel market suggestions.
Yeah. Lou, can we get this into the Holo Feed chat room over here? Mind dropping that in there?
Yeah. Give me one.
And if BioWare adds this to the game, I would give something amazing away to people.
Yeah, what, like what, a lock of your hair?
No, something amazing.
Mm. Okay.
Not majestic.
It wouldn't be. Well, speaking of the community cantina... We've got some information that dropped out of the community cantina that I think is just as amazing and majestic.
What's amazing and majestic is we're supposed to be done with the show in 31 minutes.
Yeah, wow.
And we just finished our weekend game.
That's
all, everybody. Good night.
Yeah, we're getting there, guys. We're getting there. So anyway, Los Angeles Community Cantina, the Q&A event. See, we got three questions that were asked here. First one was, when will we know the rewards for ranked PvP Season 2? BioWare had stated that we do not like to present the rewards and requirements till at least halfway through the season. So wait till half the season for when Season 2 is halfway over, and you'll get that information. The second question is, will classes be able to use weapons that are not intended for the class, like Jedi's using blasters? Now, this was something that we had talked about a few episodes ago, and we were in favor for, but apparently BioWare is not in favor for this, because they say no. One of the reasons is to allow others to identify the enemy's class in PvP. So, By the way, this is a really good example of how PvP affects PvE, because now if you wanted to, you know, use a weapon that your class normally would not be able to use, and you're strictly a PvE kind of a player, well, just because they want to keep things balanced and fair across the board for PvP, you're not allowed to. So,
yeah, I mean, you would think the first time you're hit by your opponent's abilities would pretty much be a dead giveaway, so what they are, mm-hmm. not what weapon they're using.
Yeah.
I don't know, that may just be me.
I mean, I see their point, and not only do I see it, I also support it. I think they're dead on. They're 100% right with this kind of thing. It's just frustrating to just see the blatant balancing of stuff in favor for PvP. You know, it just drives me insane.
You do realize this is a complete lie, right?
What do you mean it's a complete lie?
How many base classes are in the game on one faction?
Okay.
Four, right?
Okay.
So if you're in PvP against me, and I'm holding a lightsaber, just one lightsaber in my hand, and I'm wearing something that appears to be heavy armor, what class am I?
Okay, I see your point.
I could either be a sage, or I could be a guardian.
So you're saying that BioWare just made this up?
Yes, because they're too lazy to add the ability to use other types of weapons.
I think a better explanation, or at least a better argument for this is the fact that, you know, the icons are above everyone's head anyway.
Yes.
So, which the chat room was keen on calling out.
If I could put on some trooper armor and wield a vibro sword and come beat the crap out of you as a Jedi, how are you going to tell me that that isn't more disturbing than me being able to use a different type of weapon?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you wouldn't think I was a trooper at first when I came running up to you in Havoc Squad gear and started beating the crap out of you with the vibro stick?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, what are you going to do? This is the way BioWare sees it. They said that one of the reasons is to allow others to identify the enemy's class in PvP. Now, if you don't like it, go to the forums and call them out on it. It sounds silly, but, you know, what are we going to do? It's our game, you know? It's how they want it. I don't know.
Right, I mean, and this also harkened back to the older argument they used to have back in the beta forums, back in 2008 onward, to the game went live, for why can't Jedi use both single, dual wield, or double-bladed lightsabers? Yeah. Doesn't make a difference.
No.
This is from the same company that gave us KOTOR 1 and 2. You know? It's like, and now they tell us in SWOTOR, you can't use double-bladed lightsaber.
I mean, at the end of the day, I support this because I don't want to see a trooper using a lightsaber. I think that'd just be stupid.
No, it shouldn't work that way, but troopers should be able to use a vibro blade if they chose, or a tech blade.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason why it is this way, and the reason why they won't budge on it, has nothing to do with PvP. It's because of the class stories. How would your cutscene look if your Jedi Knight walked in with a blaster? Those cutscenes are made so he pulls out his lightsaber and turns it on and threatens to kick somebody's ass.
Mm-hmm.
And just like your trooper, you know, he's designed in that cutscene that he's either going to pull out his blaster rifle or his assault cannon and threaten somebody. Yeah. He's not going to reach to his side and pull out a lightsaber.
Right. Not to mention the skills are meant for melee weapons.
I take that back.
Although the trooper
doesn't actually use his own gun. He pulls out that stupid little pistol at his side.
Exactly. Same thing with the agent. Somehow I always pull out a pistol, which I never use in the game for whatever reason other than cutscenes. Like, wait a minute. I'm an agent. I should be able to use all weapons. You know, all, like, you know, blaster-type weapons. But I never use a pistol, even though it's in every damn cutscene.
Just like when you're a Sentinel or a Marauder, you only pull out one of your two
One lightsaber. It's like, wait a minute.
And let's see, the next question was, will there be a dual spec or armor switch upcoming in the game? Well, it's just another thing that we actually spoke about on the show as well, that we would like to see dual spec in the game. Their answer was, and I quote, "As players, we'd like to see it added, but not anytime soon. It's on the wall of crazy, though," end quote. So it's nice to see that they're looking to add this at some point in the future. They would like to see it in the game. I think it would be very nice to have dual spec in the game. What do you guys think?
I would hate to see dual spec in the game.
Okay, so why is that?
Because that's the entire point of me leveling up multiples of the same class, is so that I can play a different spec without having to respec my guy.
Yeah, you got a point on that, sure.
If they add in dual spec, then that takes away a huge incentive for me to replay the stories and replay through the content.
All right. What about the just the convenience, though? All right, you queue up for a flashpoint, and you can put in there, you know, tank and DPS instead of just one or the other. You know, it makes you more of a viable group member to be able to do that. And I think it would add a lot of... I think it would drop queue times to be able to do that versus, you know, where they're at now, where, you know, they can be a bit long.
Yeah, it would definitely drop queue times, and then you get into the flashpoint with a DPS that decided to queue up as the tank just because he can have an off-spec even though he's in DPS gear.
Well,
you can do that now. If you're forced to focus on one build, you're geared for that build.
Yeah, but Fred, you can do that now.
Yeah, but it's a bigger hurdle when you actually have to reset your spec with a field respec and actually have a second set of gear on you. Mm-hmm. When you make it more accessible, the losers, especially the ones that are coming in, you know, free to play and don't know anything about MMOs, they're going to be like, "Oh, look, I can have two builds. I'm going to put my other points over here because this tree looks cool." Suddenly, oh, that person just queued in as your healer, or that person queued in as your tank. They're wearing DPS gear.
Fred, are we calling newcomers to this game losers now? Is that what we're doing on the show?
Have you played games that have a looking for group tool?
Of course.
Are you going to tell me that when, you know, World of Warcraft, I'm looking at you with your dual spec and Rift with your multi-spec. Mm-hmm. Are you going to tell me that you haven't gotten into those pickup groups with those losers that decide they're going to queue up as a role that they're not geared to be able to perform just because they can put points in that tree? This is my off tree just so I can get into instances faster.
You've got that no matter what. As long as you're an MMO, you're always going to have a certain amount of the population, a certain percentage of the population is going to queue up not knowing what they're doing, and you're going to have to deal with them, which is why everyone says that pickup groups are pain in the neck. You're always going to have that. It doesn't matter if there's dual spec in the game or not. I think a dual spec in the game would be good. It would add a lot of quality of life to the game, and you know, I think a lot of the I'm not saying you're 100% wrong, Fred. I'm not saying that. What I am saying, though, is that a lot of the things that you are calling out already exists in the game. It probably would get worse if dual spec was in the game, but you know, that's what you have guilds and friends for. You know, you can rely on your support structure in the game to get through some of those difficult encounters that you need group-based content.
All right. Let me just give you the simple, quick math on it.
Sure.
I have 16 characters on Jedi Covenant right now. Mm-hmm. If I could dual-spec all of those characters, I would have 8. And I would probably be done with every class story right now, which means I don't know what I would be interested in doing in this game right now. Okay. Because for me, the game... the majority of the time I spend in the game is leveling up new characters. Right. And I wouldn't continue to do that if I had to play every single one of them the same way as the ones that came before them.
Oh, okay. Well, that's an interesting answer, because the fact of the matter is that people do that in this game because there is a lack of content in the game at a consistent basis, with a fast turnaround. When there's nothing to do in the game, people create alts. And it just so happens to work for this game because of the legacy system. And the more alts you have, the better off your legacy system, your legacy is going to be. But if they had a very quick turnaround with their content, if their raids were coming out, you know, once every 3 months, or once every 4 months or 5 months, they had a brand new raid come out, or new flashpoints coming out, or, you know, God forbid, they increased the class stories with all new voice acting and cutscenes, people wouldn't be making alts. Alting in this game is important because it's just the excuse everyone uses in order to stay in the game. But if they had all of that stuff, if they had consistent content coming out, people wouldn't be doing that.
And well, there's plenty of content out there that I haven't done yet.
But yeah, because the game has been out for over 2 years at this point, and you know, you do a lot of single player content.
Yeah, a lot of it's just stuff I'm not interested in. Like, I got my Sage to 55. This is the first time I'm actually taking the time to gear a character at 55.
Yeah.
Because I just never cared about the end game before.
I think at the end of the day, look, I'm not trying to say you're wrong, and I'm not trying to, you know, make you agree with my opinion. I'm not trying to do that at all, and please don't think I'm doing that. I'm just saying that for all of the bad that could come out of dual specking in SWTOR, I don't think it's bad enough to warrant it not being in the game. We'll give Lou the last word on this, and then we'll move on to our recommendations.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing dual spec or even the armor switch, which is the other part of that question, come into the game. Because what I do think is that if the game does allow dual specking, then they should also allow the quick armor switch, the entire gear set switch, when you switch your spec out, mm-hmm. right? Just for quality of life and for convenience. That way you can have that second set of gear, and it's already set up. You know, you don't have to physically go into your inventory or, God forbid, you know, try and create a macro for it. You know, the game will actually do it for you, because it'll recognize that as a dedicated second set of gear for that additional spec. All right? And, you know, dual specking, as we've seen in World of Warcraft, yeah, it has its pros, it has its cons. Okay? It makes grouping there a lot easier. It gives access to the content, which a lot of players would normally not see, you know, due to time constraints, because we all have lives outside the game. You know, no one wants to sit there for 2, 3, 4 hours trying to do content because they can't, you know, get that one person in their group, you know, to join their group. You know, and I think here with dual specking in Tor, it'll allow folks the opportunity to see the content a lot sooner. Okay, they're not waiting. You know, they're not wasting their time in game, you know, trying to get a group. I mean, as I said before, you know, it comes the good and bad. Yes, you're going to have players who will purposely indicate that they are the other spec just so they can get into a group. And then somehow laugh in the group, oh, well, you know, I'm really a DPS, not a healer. Well, you know what? That's why a beautiful feature of Vote Kick is there.
Right. You
know? And pretty much after a couple minutes of playing that character, that player, everyone will know this guy or this girl. They're totally not geared for their role. It's let's stop, pull back. Before we get any further, let's do the right thing, and you know what? Get this person out of our group, because it's going to be more of a headache in the long run. You know, the fact that they're not geared properly, you know, they're not spec'd properly for the role they said they were. So, I say if they introduce it, that's great. If not, okay. But at least it's something they're looking at, they're entertaining the idea. It's just on their wall of crazy. Where it is in the wall of crazy, I have no idea. Don't care. But as long as they know, they've acknowledged that they have looked at it, they are listening to player feedback on it. I'll wait and see what BioWare does.
All right, that brings us over to our Star Wars recommendations of the week. And this segment has been getting a little crazier and crazier as we do it. let's start with Fred.
Well, of course, I went to the usual resource, stupid.com, and I found a Wampa hat. I figured this would be nice for the father to wear while he's walking his son in his Tauntaun outfit from last week.
So right here at stupid.com, for $26.99, you could be the owner of a one of
By
a kind.
By God, it's in stock.
Wampa hat, yeah. I wouldn't imagine a prize like this being in stock. This is...
I would fully expect it to be sold out at this point. But, yeah. But gosh, fortune smiles on us, my friends.
I can't believe the guy wearing this Wampa hat also has a matching fuzzy shirt to go with it. You see that? for more information here at stupid.com, they do say, and I quote, "This snow beast is ready to claim your head. Actually, your head will be claiming him. This ultra-warm and plush hat looks just like the alien from Star Wars and features realistic fur that even covers your ears for added warmth." While you're reaching for your lightsaber, folks, reach for your wallet at stupid.com for your Wampa hat.
You know, it would have been hysterical if one of the arms is missing. Or half an arm. It's like that on purpose.
I think as you walk, there should be a little Jedi doll strung up by his leg that hangs from the back of it.
Lou, what about you? What do you have to recommend this week?
Wow, how can I... All right, this week... I am recommending a book. It's called The Art of Star Wars, The Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I put a little link there in the notes. Let me just hop to that really quick. But, yes, it's based off of this is a straight quote from the ad itself in the wiki. Quote, "This full-color book is bursting with final images and development artwork for characters, creatures, planets, and vehicles, covering every aspect of the creation of the hit movie and the TV series, accompanied by a comment from the creative team. With a foreword by George Lucas and packed with previously unseen artwork, this book is a must for fans of Star Wars, cutting-edge animation and beautiful artwork." End quote. But yeah, it's got a lot of... if you're into the... I guess the behind-the-scenes sort of material that come with games or movies, kind of like, you know, with... Elder Scrolls Online, if you bought the physical edition, what did you get? You got that book, okay? Mm-hmm. It came with it. Same thing here. Here you're seeing the artwork, and man, come on. Who doesn't know? You know, some of the artwork we've seen from Star Wars is some... I personally find some of the best things I've seen ever. And I do find a lot of the creative sketches in the beginning that they put out there saying, all right, this is what we thought of originally, and this is how it developed, and this is what it became. You know, like one of my favorite things for the Clone Wars special is like the early sketches of Grievous. You know, how they came up with Grievous. You know, what they were going to do with him. How was he going to look? You know, and seeing that as it developed over time for the actual finished version of him. You know, I like that stuff. I like seeing how the artists, you know, came up with the ideas and how they meshed with the writers. You know, with Luke saying, "All right, now how do we want to develop this person, this character? You know, how do they come up with the looks? How do we, how do we want to display the backdrop of the horror, or the excitement, you know, the fun stuff in Clone Wars?" So I really think if you do like looking at this stuff, I heartily recommend this book.
Nice job, Blue. From Nito Shop, I would recommend the Slave Leia costume for pets. You get this at neetoshop.com. For $15.95, you too can dress up your pet as one of the sexiest icons in all of sci-fi and fantasy. Yes, I'm talking about the Slave Leia costume. What pet on Halloween would not want to be slathered in the bodice of Leia, Princess Leia, indeed. So and this dog, as you can see right here on the stream, this dog looks extremely happy to be donned in the slave costume. I bet he or she is feeling very, very sexy while they were taking this photo.
Fred, would Paige allow the dogs to wear that outfit? By any chance?
I would not allow the dogs to wear that outfit.
Why not? It's a wonderful costume for dogs. It
looks like something stupid you'd wear on your cats.
It comes in many different sizes, medium and extra large. So Callie, we could probably fit that around your tubby little body. No, maybe not.
Does she even move?
This is swiftly becoming my least favorite part of the show.
Well, in any
so event. If I get tired of listening to you, Evolwyn, mm-hmm. Do you have any suggestions of what I could listen to?
Well, if maybe things over here are getting a little ridiculous. Maybe you don't want to hear anything about Slave Leia costumes that your pet can wear. We would recommend downloading an audiobook. But where could you download an audiobook? And money's a little tight for me. Well,
ooh, I bet I know.
Yeah, and where would that be?
I bet I could go to audibletrial.com/questgamingnetwork. And I'll receive a 30-day free trial. And then I could download Fatal Alliance, which will be way better than listening to that crap you just recommended.
Indeed. The worst story ever written in the Star Wars universe, Fatal Alliance, may be better.
You don't even need to add the Star Wars universe part. Twilight was a better book.
I tell you, well, that's going a little too far.
No. We have to recommend a bad book in the Star Wars universe. I would probably put it up there with Splinter in the Mind's Eye. I'm just putting it out there. You, sorry. Don't like that book at all.
That's why that's not canonical.
Thank God.
So, audibletrial.com/questgamingnetwork. Download your free book today, right now, by going to that link, audibletrial.com/questgamingnetwork.
And now's the part where we skip right to our contact information since we're almost out of time.
well, we do. We are getting into ish. Jesus, take the wheel. Whatever. I can't even talk today. I'm so damn exhausted. Holy shit. Anyway, stay tuned, guys. We've got Agent Olan's intelligence report coming up right now.
Right. And this week, the report is going to be on the Eye of Palpatine, weapon of fear and terror. Writer Fred's Alley. We're going to quote from Triv Poffman, the biggest, most dangerous, most secret vessel of them all, a supership, a dreadnought, a battle moon, one the enemy wouldn't see coming until it was too late. So what is the Eye of Palpatine? It was a colossal, asteroid-shaped super dreadnought constructed at the behest of the Emperor Palpatine during the second year of the Galactic Empire. It was destroyed 12 years after the Battle of Yavin. Boo. And we have another quote. This coming from our well-known Jedi Luke Skywalker. His thoughts on Eye of Palpatine. Huge. More vast than even the biggest of the Superstar Destroyers. Bigger than a torpedo sphere. With firepower to waste a planet. This deadly warship was the Emperor's first super weapon. It was referred to as both a dreadnought and a battle moon. As part of its secret of origin, the vessel was made to look similar to an asteroid, including the implementation of impact craters under Palpatine's direct input. The reason for this was officially stated as a means of protection from detection by enemy vessels and worlds, although it was speculated to have either been done as a means to ensure its development remained secret due to potential outrage, or possibly even converted from a large space rock in order to save on material resources. Akin to a torpedo sphere in Roll, that is, an enormous siege platform intended to target sections of planet with myriad weapons, the Eye was armed with much more weaponry and built on a much larger scale. Its firepower rivaled and possibly exceeded that of an entire fleet carrying out a base Delta Zero type orbital bombardment. That is, it could reduce the upper crust of a planet to molten slag while acting alone and using only its own weaponry. Its overall size surpassed that of the torpedo spheres as well as several Super Star Destroyers, although its length was on par with the Executor-class Star Dreadnoughts and the Vengeance-class Dreadnoughts. It's pretty big. The main bridge was located at the bow of the vessel. In addition, a KDY, or Kauai Drive Yard-style tower, was also implemented on the dorsal area of the ship, although it was included solely as a deflector shield generator. Another deflector shield generator was likewise located near the stern of the ship, on its ventral side. It also included at least one sensor array, visible on the bow as being a large crater. The hangar bays were located close to the stern of the ship, which had possessed at least eight, at least one of which was an area of the ship where its metallic hull was exposed. It also possessed at least six sublight engines, one near the dorsal side and two near the ventral side of the vessel's stern. The hyperdrive was located in the equatorial area of the vessel's stern. Its weaponry included at least four sets of ventral turbolaser batteries, a ring of eight forward-focused turbolaser batteries, and its primary weapon, a laser-targeting beam emitter, located at the center of the forward-focused turbolaser battery ring. Because of the secrecy involved, the ship was unmanned, and all its systems were controlled by an artificial intelligence known as the Will. The ship was equipped with many TIE squadrons as well as Beta-class ETR-3 escort transports and skip-ray blast boats. Much of the ship's onboard equipment was supplied by Sorosu Corporation. And here we have another quote from one of our well-known characters, Mara Jade. Looking at the kind of thing he designed later, military, industrial, both, I'd say the Emperor paid him to design a super ship of some kind. That was back when they needed a vessel the size of a city to carry the blasting power they wanted. Whatever was on Belsavis, it looks like the Emperor didn't want anything breathing when the dust settled. The Dreadnought was designed by Oren Keldor, who also had a hand in the Death Star project. Palpatine had the Eye constructed 18 years before the Battle of Yavin via government funds that he had personally diverted, and he intended to use it to destroy Belsavis' Plawal Rift, where the Children of the Jedi were being sheltered by the Hoden Jedi Master Plett in the same year. This rift was a lush, steam-filled geothermal vent gouged into the planet's icy wastes and covered by a transparent steel dome. Since this action would have caused outrage in the Imperial Senate, he scattered the vessel's contingent of troops across the Outer Rim territories to await pickup. The ship also was made to resemble an asteroid, even including impact craters, as a means of camouflage. Officially, the camouflage was implemented to either deceive or baffle scanners from enemy worlds and vessels, although later historians speculated that the real reason was to keep its development a secret from the Imperial Senate, due largely to Palpatine having already ordered for the commencement of the Death Star project by the time he ordered the construction of the Dreadnought. The ship was constructed at the shipyards of Rothana and at Patrim, where it was activated and sent to Belsavis to destroy the Jedi. Scheduled to fly along lightly traveled hyperlanes, it would pick up contingents of troops at Zob, Dom Radin, Kiro 3, Tatooine, and Alzok 3. The vessel failed to arrive at any of these places, however, thanks to sabotage by two Jedi Knights, Gaeth Eris and Callista Ming, in the Moonflower Nebula. Callista was forced to trap her spirit in the ship's computers in order to stop it. Plett and the Children of the Jedi were able to leave Belsavis and escape as a result of Gaeth's and Callista's heroic act. As a direct result, the Emperor, furious at the failure of his plans, had several people in prison for the loss of the Eye. Well, that's pretty generous of him. And here we have another quote from Lord Bensal. We've heard all about this ship. What is it? Where is it coming from? Are you sure it's large enough to give us the power, the armament to create our own allied fleet? It is, quite simply, the largest and most heavily armed battle moon still in existence from the heyday of the Imperial fleet. It was a prototype transition between the torpedo platforms and the original Death Star. It doesn't have the focus power of the destructor beams, but it has almost the same the power capacity of the Death Star. The Eye remained dormant until 12 years after the Battle of Yavin, where the Emperor's hand, Organda Ismarin, located it. She used her son, Eric Ismarin, who had been implanted with a sub-electronic converter that allowed him to control any machine by thought, to summon the dormant ship to Belsavis in her attempt to revitalize the Empire. Upon activation, the Eye of Palpatine attempted to fulfill its programming by picking up its Imperial Stormtrooper contingent. But, after so many years, the troops had disappeared, except for Chiff Pothman, one of 45 troopers left on the Gamorrean colony Pazop, who survived the bloodshed brought on by the various warring Gamorrean tribes. Undaunted, the Eye went after any sentient beings found in the appropriate locations. It began grabbing groups of prisoners from various species located in many worlds. Soon, the Eye was filled with numerous species, including Talts, Apatekans, Jawas, Katonax, Tusken Raiders, Tripods, ticker, and Gamorreans. They were all brainwashed into thinking they were Imperial Stormtroopers. The Eye was eventually destroyed by Jedi student Nikos Maar over Belsavis. Although no evidence could be found in any of the surviving Imperial records recovered by the New Republic, Queezix believed that the Eye had a sister ship. That ship's mission, or final fate, if it even existed, had not been discovered as of 25 years after the Battle of Yavin. And this concludes our little report on the Eye of Palpatine. Hope you all enjoyed it, and I wish to say thank you to the Wikipedia, StarWars.com, TheForce.net, and many other Star Wars sites out there for all the lore they've collected over the years. Folks, if you enjoy the lore as much as I do, please go visit these sites, look up your favorite topics, and read up and enjoy.
And that brings us over to the Holo feed, your emails, tweets, and or Facebook feedback. First up, though, is the Lore Masters trivia question of the week. And Agent Olan, what have we got to report today on this?
Well, unfortunately, since I've been away doing real life stuff, I didn't have a question for last week, but I will have one posted later on this week on Wednesday. But I do want to remind everyone we did have a winner last time we had the question, Christopher S. Okay, and I will be sending him his prize. So stay tuned, folks. Remember, I post the question on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WatchWarriorForge. Look for it under a post by me, under Louis Salon. Okay, and as always, please include your character name, faction, and server with your answer. The first three people with the correct answers, they will be entered into a pool, two in the cartel pack, and a random choice on the next show will be the winner. So, remember, Fred and Varwin, hold your fate in their hands.
That is right.
All right. And Fred, Sith Lord Korv, we had a lot of interaction on Twitter this week from our fans. What have our fans been saying to us on Twitter? Yeah, looks like he may have actually just dropped.
Well, in this case, we have for Miles at the New Sandwich. Wow, that's a cool name. He or she writes, kudos to Eve Arwen for the Muppet Christmas Carol reference in this week's WotR Reforged. Wow, you worked that in there. That's skill. I like that. Dave MG at SkylarLover29 commented at the show, great show, guys. And Yavaro, never let Fred do lore again for all health's sake. Aw. Well, that was pretty funny. Jason Brown at Kronos 1981, bunch of numbers. We need to alternate the Jedi and Sith archives every week. And Rosemary at RosieBear77 comments, found you guys through Otini. Was not expecting to hear bathroom talk and lore in the same segment. Kudos, I think. All right, a left-handed compliment if I've ever heard one.
At Swotor Buckeye on 619 says that Sith Lord Korv deserves a standing ovation for his epic background on Avarwin, being the son of a Sith Lord during Swotor Reforged.
That isn't what it says.
At BZA0047 on 619 says, at Swotori Forge, just listen to the latest episode. Great show. Sith Lord Korv needs to do another lore segment sometime.
So I take it you can hear me again now.
We can, yeah. At Agent 4709 says, at Swotori Forge, I'm hyped to listen to the new podcast tonight at work. You guys have a really good show. I want to learn more about that game. At RS Keo, K-E-O-U-G-H, 96, says, if you keep clicking those slots, Sith Lord Korv, you're going to get a finger that looks like a rock's arm. Fred, would you mind taking the rest, please?
Sure. Jason Brown, at Swotori Forge, I'm ready for another story from the Sith Archives. Mark underscore Swotor says, at Swotori Forge, listen to episode 40 on my way to work. Sith Archives equals best. Biggest laugh I've had in a long time. Thanks, guys. And Bowbender says, at Swotori Forge, that was podcast gold, in my opinion. Made my day hearing that. Jason Brown, at Swotori Forge, another unable to breathe moment brought to you by QGN. Bowbender, the genuine laughter of Varwin sealed it. Jason Brown, at first I thought I'd never heard of Darth Luzar. Oh, that's why. Next time from the Sith Archives, Bob blah blah blah's rise to power as a Dreadmaster. referencing the part when I was naming off the Dreadmasters and yeah.
Go blah blah wanna, blah.
Yeah, and you're
Fred,
like,
did you actually say the word go blah blah blah?
And then again he says, had to listen to the podcast again. Still as funny the second time. And Ash says, at Swotori Forge, love the lore segment this week. Lord Fluffy Duck says, you gotta listen to Sith Lord Korv do the lore segment on Swotori Forged episode 40. Listening now, hashtag Luzar, hashtag Maroonie. Rosemarie says, at Swotori Forged, I wonder if I should channel Sith Lord Korv at jury duty today. To which Korv actually replied, if they're here, evidently they're guilty.
Allow me to execute them, my master.
I was going to ask, why aren't they dead already then?
And we actually received an email this week from JJ, who says, hey guys, just wanted to let you know, as I listen to your podcast, driving through the Everglades of Florida, I stopped at a random area to take a crap.
It's a crap!
Still listening to your podcast, I vaguely gaze out to see a janitor waiting for me to get out of the bathroom to clean the toilet. Cool to hear the Darth Lord's voice reading the Dark Sith Annuals. In that special dark side voice, I was amazed that the janitor's last name was Lusar, L-E-W-S-A-R. Coincidence? I think not. It's a crap. Great show, guys.
Wait, hold on a minute. How the hell do you just look at a janitor and know what his last name is?
Maybe he had a little name tag.
What the hell was he? The Everglades is just filled with custodians running around with name tags? Yeah, I thought the Everglades was just one big toilet and you could just crap wherever you were. Like the rest of Florida.
So then he goes on to say, I have no idea how you perfectly describe that epic story in Star Wars lore segment fashion. You had all the right ways to describe planets. The Force is strong with you, although I don't know which one. By the way, Trek is a guy, JJ.
Trek may be a guy, but Treek is definitely a girl.
Isn't that right, Treek?
Yep. I never watched Star Trek, so I wouldn't know. Yeah, it's a good little girl. Go back to nursing your kittens. I don't have any Pringles. Get off of me. Didn't I tell you about saying that about Evalwyn's mother when he's present? Wow, my eye.
Well, I guess she got the last word on that one. Anyway, guys, in your SWOTAR community, check up on the latest podcasts that hit this week. TauroCast, episode 203, posted on June 16th and is available at taurocast.com. OutiniCast, episode 147, is available at OutiniCast.com. That's OOTINICast.com since June 19th. And the SWOTAR Escape Podcast, episode 43, is available at NewOverlords.com since June 16th. And the Bad Feeling Podcast, all those potty mouth podcasters. That's episode 19 has been available since June 18th on iTunes at BadFeelingPodcast.com. Check out their show, but be careful. It is an explicit podcast, but it's a great show. And also, don't forget to follow Madmar at SWOTAR Family on Twitter for all the latest happenings in the SWOTAR community. A fantastic SWOTAR community ambassador, and probably we'll leave it there. So anyway, just want to say, in light of recent events, I'd rather Madmar get hired as the new community manager. Just saying.
Wow.
What?
Really?
What? Madmar would be great as a community ambassador over at BioWare.
Well, I understand that, but okay. He's already employed as my apprentice.
Yeah, that will soon change my
What
master.
Are you trying to say?
Huh? I'm not trying to say anything.
No, Cadus was my original apprentice. He's already graduated. Madmar's my new charity case / apprentice.
Charity wow. case.
He's named Fluffy Duck because he's not that good at anything. Don't tell him I said that. He'll cry again.
Poor guy.
You know who would make a great community manager, though?
Yeah, who's that?
One of the original doctors from BioWare. Why not bring him back and just spit in their eyes some more and make him the community person now, at the bottom of the barrel?
There you go.
Or George Lucas himself, since he signed over the property.
George Lucas would be amazing, actually.
Yes, after he's done moonlighting at McDonald's, he can get on the forums and tell us what's coming to the game and why we can't have the things that we want.
Well, guys, if you want to send us an email and tell Fred that, you know, there is more to do in Florida other than just take a poo anywhere you like, you can do that at swotorreforged@gmail.com. That's SWTORREFORGED @gmail.com. And we are part of the QGN, the Quest Gaming Network. You can find out what we're doing over there at questgamingnetwork.com. Check out all of our shows here, like Rift with Reforged. That's live Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on Twitch. And then, of course, this show records Mondays at 7 p.m. That's SWOTAR Reforged. Right after that, we've got Totally Heroes, which is, hey, totally live, 10 p.m. on Mondays. Then on Thursdays, we post Shank's Spiel, which is your weekly dose of Shank and his musings on the gaming industry. Join him for rants, ravings, and information every Thursday at 9 a.m. Eastern on our YouTube account. That's youtube.com/QuestGamingNetwork. Elder Scrolls Off the Record right here, Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern. And then Classic Elder Scrolls Night or Minecraft Off the Record. This week it's going to be Minecraft Off the Record Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern and Shank's Saturdays, Shank's weekly live stream every Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern. And then again available on YouTube. You can catch all of that live right here on twitch.tv/QuestGamingNetwork. And if you don't catch it live, that's all right. We got you guys. You can see it on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/QuestGamingNetwork. Now, Fred, you are the lead host of Minecraft Off the Record. What can we expect for good old Minecraft Off the Record Friday at 9 p.m.?
Well, I thought we'd do something different this week, and we'd talk about Minecraft.
Oh, okay. Probably one of the only Minecraft podcasts out there to actually talk about the game at this point. Which is always
a
nice thing.
And good news, everybody. You can listen to the amazing shows that we put out every week and the other crap we put out every week on our QGN Master feed, available on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Just search for Quest Gaming Network. Subscribe to that, and you can follow everything we do as a network. SWTOR Reforged and all the other crap pops up in there.
There you go. Final thoughts, guys. Let's start with Lou.
Well, one of my final thoughts is I really hope customer service gets back to me because I really want my issue fixed where I can hop in game and play with no restraints, you know, no compunctions because, yeah, preferred status isn't bad. I mean, it's not as bad as a free-to-play model, but still, it just sucks with those restrictions. I hate having them there, you know, hanging over my head. So I hope they get back to me and I can get this resolved quickly.
And Fred?
I have two final thoughts. First, I hope the customer service doesn't get back to Lou because that'll give us more perspective on the free-to-play model. And two...
two words. It sucks.
I want everybody to go to the forums and support my cause there on that thread so we can hopefully get some more of these art assets available to use on our characters.
Well, this has been a good show, guys. I appreciate all your efforts. And for those of you out there listening, thanks for joining us here on the Ebon Millennium.
I feel like we just spent 2 hours talking about nothing.
So we pretty much did a Seinfeld on SWTOR.
This is the episode about nothing that means nothing, and it talks about nothing. Come back next week and maybe we'll have some content.
And then we'll talk about Bio. Nothing there.
Love Edwin from Bio.
Yes, that's right. Scott outed me as Edwin from BioWare. You got me, guys. You got me.
Right.
All right, guys. Well, as always, SWTOR Reforged is a Quest Gaming Network production in association with the Middle Earth Network. Take care, everyone. Be safe. And as always, may the Force be with you.
Remember, the Force will be with you always. Hee hee hee!